Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
You know that I love the book of Nehemiah. I've preached out of it a lot, but I want you to look. I'll just let you remain seated. Chapter number 4, verse number 6. Chapter number 4, verse number 6 says this. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And I want to talk to you just a few minutes tonight about the work of God and finishing the work of God that He's put us into. Father, I love You. Lord, we sure need You tonight. And I pray over the next few minutes, God, that You would help us tonight. God, give us the mind of Christ. Father, give us the words that You'd have us to say. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Chapter number 1, Nehemiah is living just his ordinary life. Nehemiah, whenever you study him out, you that knows the Word of God knows this, but Nehemiah was not a pastor. Nehemiah was not a deacon. Nehemiah was not a Sunday school teacher. I believe we could say it if we want to look at it in our dispensation. Nehemiah was a faithful church member, went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, done what he could for the Lord. And Nehemiah, we could say it this way, his job was to be the king's cupbearer. That's who he is. If you don't know what the king's cupbearer was, he was probably, I personally don't think there's a probably there. I think that he was the most trusted man of the king. The king trusted him more than anybody else because he was the king's cupbearer. In other words, when something was brought to the king, Nehemiah was one that said whether or not it was okay for the king to drink it or for the king to eat it. And if it was bad, well, guess who's going to die? Old Nehemiah was. He was a very trusted man. And Nehemiah in chapter number 1, Nehemiah's living his ordinary life, man. He's going about life, but God has a plan for Nehemiah. So they come to Nehemiah and they tell Nehemiah the walls of Jerusalem are tore down in chapter number 1. The gates thereof are burned with fire. And Nehemiah hears about it. Nehemiah gets upset. He gets broken. He gets burdened about that. Matter of fact, the word concerned is used in chapter number 1 that Nehemiah was concerned because of the people there and the walls of Jerusalem that was broken down and the remnant that was left there. So Nehemiah goes and looks at it, and he takes a tour of it, if you want to look at it that way. When we think about the walls of Jerusalem, we're not talking about some little bitty wall. We're not talking about just a little bitty area. Matter of fact, whenever you study it out, the wall was probably, if you was to put it in a straight line, it was probably around 2.5 miles long. The wall on an average was 8 foot thick and was around 40 feet high. So it's not just some little wall. Matter of fact, whenever you look at it, it probably depends on who you read after what maps you look at, but probably around 30 to 35 watchtowers that was on this wall, 7 gates that was around this wall. In other words, this was not just some little bitty thing that Nehemiah was looking at. This was a great big task. He didn't have an Apache helicopter that he flew around. He either walked it or rode a mule or a donkey and inventoried and looked at it. He saw the distress that they was in, the problem that they had. Nehemiah decides, hey, look, man, I'm going to do something about this. Now, I believe that we can all come to a general senses tonight and to a general agreement tonight that when we look at the condition around us today, man, the walls are lying at waste. Man, I'm telling you, our country's in a mess tonight. Not only our country's in a mess, our own community's in a mess tonight. You look at the spiritual side of it, when you look at the crime that goes on in it, a lot of things that people never see. I'm telling you something, we're in a mess tonight. I'll just say this. Now, I love our sheriff. He's a personal friend of mine. I'd do anything in this world for him, and he would me. I spent several hours just me and him in a vehicle today together, and he's a good godly man. He's a good Christian man. I love him tonight. But he don't have the answer for our community within himself as a sheriff. He does have the answer, and it's in Jesus Christ. Can I say it that way? And our communities need help today. On Monday, there was a narcotics officer, an undercover guy from Homeland Security that spoke on the fentanyl epidemic that's in our country today. And I'm telling you, man, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. And the only way you'll ever do something about something is if you realize there is a problem. Amen. You got to realize, you know what? If you got a problem within yourself, you'll never fix that problem until you realize there is a problem. Let me just time out and chase a rabbit right here. It's not always everybody else's fault. And just say that right there. You need to learn how to accept some personal responsibility on some things. And teach your kids to accept personal responsibility for things. It's not always everybody else's fault. He realizes that there is a problem, and he goes into chapter number 2, and he says, man, he said, we need to build this wall back. Chapter number 2, verse number 18 says this, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. The walls are lying at waste, man. There's a problem here. And he says, before I talk to you much about it, I'm just going to tell you how good God is. Amen. Because it don't matter how bad the day has been, God's still good. It don't matter how rough the night has been, God's still good. It don't matter the report that the doctor may have given us, God is still good. He said, I'm going to tell you about the goodness of God first. And then he goes on to say this. Now, I'm headed to chapter number 4. I'll get there in an hour or so. Here's what he said. My God, which was good upon me, is also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And you that knows the king says, man, you go build the wall back. Here's you a letter to get everything you need, all the building materials you need. I'm going to take care of all of it. And then he says this, and they said, let us rise up and build. They said, well, man, let's do something. And you know what? It's easy to get motivated in the beginning. I remember when we dug the first hole on this building. And the very first hole we dug is a storm drain that's down there at the road. That was the very first storm box that we set that day. And I'll never forget it, man. And we was getting ready to do it. And Brother Mark was here and Brother Granville was here. And they both said, man, you get on the track hoe and you dig the first part of it. And you said, what'd you do? I got on the track hoe, man. And I dug the first hole. And boy, I was excited. I got it started. Brother Granville finished it all up, made it look nice. I got it started. And boy, I was excited. But about 3 months into this thing, I was thinking, who was the nut that dug the first hole out there? When we first hear of something, and we first hear somebody address something, and Nehemiah evidently had a way about him, can I say it this way, to sell it to them, they said, man, let's do it. You ever heard somebody talk? If you've ever heard Brother Steve Pope preach, if you've ever heard him preach, when he gets done, you just want to stand up on the pulpit and scream, amen. He makes you want to do something, man. He drives you to do something. Nehemiah said, boy, God's good. Look what the king's done. Look what God's done. Let's build. They said, let's do it. Now watch this. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. You see, the work that they was doing was a good work. And what we are doing here at Amazing Grace, if you don't know or not, let me just let you know. It is a good work that we're doing here. Amen. It is a good work that we're doing. What's happening over there with the kids tonight is a good work that we're doing. The services God's been giving us, it's a good work that we're doing. Brother Stan telling everybody in Burnsville about Jesus as he's giving them a hot dog. It's a good work that the Lord's put us in. Can I just say this to you? I'd rather do this work than any other work. Well, if y'all will help me, we'll get done before midnight. I'd rather do this work than any other work. I'd rather be in the ministry. I'd rather be serving God. I'd rather be living for Him. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. It is a good work that God's put us in. But the truth of the matter is also this, we get tired. Okay, let me say that again. We get tired. Matter of fact, why did he even put Galatians 6:9 in the Bible if we didn't? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we was not going to get weary, Brother Aaron, why did he put it in the Bible? No, he knew that we would get weary. He knew that there would be times. Matter of fact, John the Baptist himself even doubted if Jesus was really who he said he was. And then after he doubted, Jesus said about John that there was never one born greater. And tell you what happened, he got weary. We get tired. We get wore out. Matter of fact, the old people used to say it this way, or the older preachers used to say it this way, I'd rather burn out than rust out. But the truth of the matter is this, either way you're out. So I'm not interested in burning out, and I'm not interested in rusting out, because either way you're out. Are you with me? Now, go to chapter number 4. This is where I read a while ago, and I'm going to give you a little thought here. And I guess I missed the mark, didn't I, Miss Courtney and Miss Sarah? I told them I was going to preach 5 minutes. And Miss Courtney said, I drove all the way here. I said, 10. She said, that'll do. You're going to get more than 10. Y'all can blame her. I was really just going to go 10 minutes and prove everybody I could, but then y'all can blame her for this. So built we the wall, verse number 6 of chapter number 4. So built we the wall. I like that. If you write in your Bible, circle the word we. You with me? It was a cooperative thing. Nehemiah couldn't do it all by himself, man. So built we the wall. I can't do it all by myself. And you know what? You can't do it all by yourself. Hear what I'm fixing to say. It's all right to let somebody help you every once in a while. I called Brother David Williams Monday, and I was talking to him a minute, and I said, what do you need? And as far as their business, they lost everything practically at it. They're still without power at their house. They don't know how long it'll be before they get power back. And he had a little bitty, one of them little bitty 2,500-watt generators he had sent me a picture of before the storm started. And he said, I'm ready for the storm. And I asked him Monday, I said, what do you need, man? And he said, I don't need nothing. And I said, what do you need? He said, I don't need nothing. I said, well, how's your generator? And he paused for just a second. And I said, ah. He said, well, it was spitting and sputtering a little bit last night. And I said, you'll have a better generator. I made a couple phone calls, and we got him a generator, and yesterday it was delivered to his house, and now they can wash their clothes, and it's a 10,000-watt generator instead of a 2,500-watt generator. And he's a man of God. He's one of God's servants, and I believe the Lord will take care of him. Somebody give me an amen right there. But I said, it's okay to let somebody help you every once in a while. He said, we built this thing, man. This thing is us. The ministry is us. It's not my church. It's not your church. Number one, it's God's church, and it's our church. We're all on the same team. You say, well, I'm not on the same team you are. Well, there's exit signs at the door. I didn't misinterpret what I just said. There's exit signs. Man, if you ain't going to get on the train, you might as well just get off the train. Just don't get in front of the train, because I promise you the train will run over you. We're not stopping, man. This is a good work that God's put us in. And it's our work, man. We get to do this together. He said, so built we the wall. I'll get to the message in just a second. And all the walls joined together into the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work, the work of God. Let me give you three things about the work of God. He said, so built we the wall. I see, number one, the persistence in the work. The persistence in the work. If you go back and study, and I'm not going to for the sake of time, but if you go back and study, you'll find that there was an enemy that Sanballat and Gershon and Tobiah came up against him over and over. And they said, hey, let's meet together in one of the plains of Ono. And what are they doing? They're trying their best and to get him out, to get him off the wall, to get him out of the ministry, to get him to quit doing what God's got for him to do. But you know what he said? He said, no, I'm not going there. He said, I'm going to say no to Ono, and I'm not going there. What was it? There was a persistence in that. In other words, he stayed with it. I'll never forget a statement that my dad said one time. He said, you can determine the caliber of a Christian by what it takes to make them quit. And can I just say this? If you quit because somebody didn't look at you, if you pout because somebody didn't shake your hand, you was in this thing for the wrong reason to begin with. I don't mean this ugly. I'm not here for you tonight. I'm here for him. I'm not preaching for you tonight. I'm preaching for him tonight. You're just the congregation that he's allowing me to preach to, man. There needs to be some persistence in us. We need to determine by the grace of God, let come what may, I'm going to finish the work that God put me in. So built we the wall, man. They stayed with it. They stayed with it. They stayed with it. There was some nights that we would be working and we would stop, but I'll never forget the night that we was building this platform, Brother Mark, and several more of y'all was here when we was building this platform. And I'll never forget Brother Wade Gallant was sitting right in there, and we was working, and he would touch every board, wouldn't he, Brother Tim? He'd help you, do his best to help you hold up every board that was cut on this platform. And Brother Wade, he was sitting there, and he mumbled a little something. I said, Brother Wade, what was that? He said, well, I'm going to tell you right now, you can drive a bulldozer across that thing, and it won't fall the way y'all are building it. And I said, well, Brother Wade, there's going to be some people up there, and who knows? The Lord may send us somebody the size of a bulldozer to stand up there. So we needed to be strong. I'll never, man, we had got so tired that night. Some of us had been going since about 5 that morning, and one or two said, well, let's just stop and finish it tomorrow. And I said, nope. We ain't leaving. I ain't leaving till it's done. And sure enough, we finished it out that night, the framing of it and the sheeting of it. But let me tell you the reason why. There was some men with persistency. There was some men that said, you know what? We've got a work to do and we're going to do it. And I want to tell you something tonight, church. You need to determine by the grace of God. You said, preacher, I'm here on a Wednesday night. I understand that. But you need to determine by the grace of God that you're not going to get out. That you're not going to be a casualty in this thing. That you're not going to throw in the towel. That you're not going away. Man, God's got us here doing a good work. It's a good work. It's a good work. Well, there was their persistency. But watch this, so built we the wall. And all the walls joined together into the half thereof. There was not only the persistence of the work, but there was the progress of the work. You see, when you're persistent, it will come with progress. Several months ago, I had been preaching my guts out and wasn't nobody getting saved. And boy, I'm telling you, it was troubling me. It was burdening me. And there was a lady in the church that hardly ever comes out and shakes my hand. Hardly ever says much of anything to me. She's always here. She's always in her place. But I don't have to talk to her every service to get her to come to church. She don't have to talk to me every service and me not think she's mad at me. Are you with me? I'm 46, man. Some of y'all will get that in a little while. I'm a grown-up. And I'll never forget one service. She came out the door, and I thought, well, here we go. She said, I need to tell you something. And I thought, okay, let it rip. You hear me? She said, you just keep preaching. I said, well, I plan to. And I was a little bit on the defense to begin with. I said, well, I plan to. She said, I'm praying and other people are praying. We're fixing to see some people saved. Just stay with it. I said, I believe I will. And be honest with you, I felt like walking back in here and preaching another hour after she done that. She had a touch of God on her. She was talking to me. You know what happened not long after that? One got saved. Another one got saved. Now over the past few months, we've had 9 saved. The progress of the work. The only way you'll ever see progress is if you're persistent. We think that, boy, I'm going to get on fire for God. I'm going to invite 3 people to church, and I'm going to turn the world upside down. But it don't take but about 2 or 3 weeks, and all of a sudden, you've run all over the country all week long, but Sunday morning, oh, my leg hurts. You've run everywhere on Saturday, but all of a sudden, oh, my neck hurts. I can't make it to church. Well, you made it everywhere else. The problem is this. There's a problem with priorities. And it goes deeper than that. There is a spiritual problem. Everybody hearing the preacher tonight? If you want to see progress, there has to be persistency. I'm sure the first place that Brother Blake or Brother Scotty pulled up at in all this storm damage. Well, let me just rewind that. I'll give you one of our illustrations. First place we pulled up at, I'm trying to think, it was me and Miss Leslie and Olivia and there's somebody else with us, Caleb, and you was with us, wasn't you, Brother Aaron? And Brother Aaron. And we pulled up, and man, this yard of this lady that's in a wheelchair and her husband's sitting here, it was a disaster, wasn't it? And I thought, we're going to be here a long time. That's just really what I thought in the back of my mind. We all jumped in and started raking and started grabbing leaf blowers and blowing. And in about 30, 45 minutes, I looked around and I thought, well, man, it's starting to look pretty good. About an hour and 15 minutes into it, we'd turned the leaf blowers off, we's drinking a bottle of water, we's going on to the next place. We pulled up at the next place, and I really thought, we're going to be here a long time. It wasn't just second, man, we had chainsaws running. We had ladies pulling brush, Miss Olivia, Miss Leslie was pulling brush. We had men stacking stuff up on the trailer. You know, audio wasn't but just an hour or so. We'd cut that big tree up, got every bit of it up, cleaned the yard up, was drinking a bottle of water. But let me tell you the reason we saw the progress is because we stayed with the work. Let me tell you the reason we saw the progress, because we was persistent. And I want to say something to you tonight. If you want to see the progress at Amazing Grace, you're going to have to stay persistent. Some walked away, Brother Brian, 12, 13, 14, 15 years ago and thought, well, the church will never amount to nothing. And me and Brother Brian didn't do it, but God did it. And there were some people, though, that remained faithful. Boy, it's getting tight tonight. There's some people, Brother Scotty, that just stayed with it. And look around now. So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this, the progress will come from persistency. You've got to stay with it. You've got to stay with it. Number one, there's the persistence of the work. Number two, there's a progress of the work. But watch this. For the people had a mind to work. There's the passion for the work. They had a mind to do it. Why? Let me tell you the reason I think. Here's the reason I think. Nehemiah told them about the hand of God and how good God had been. And you know what they said? Can I preach it in our dispensation? They said, when I see how good God is, and I see how much God's blessed me, and I see how good God's been to me, the least thing I can do is serve Him. They had a passion for it. Why? Because of the goodness of God. And man, when we look at the goodness of God, it should give us a passion to serve Him and to be faithful to Him and have a mind to do a work for Him. That was the passion of the work. The passion of the work. Let me talk to you about 15 minutes, and I'll tell you what your passion is. Let me talk to you about 15 minutes, and I'll tell you what your passion is. Let me tell you the reason why. You'll begin to talk about it. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's just the Bible. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I'm going to tell you something. We need a passion for the work of God tonight. We need a love for the work of God tonight.